Well, welcome to another episode of the Coffee Break Podcast, where our mission is to share business ideas, practices, and strategies while we enjoy our cup of coffee. Today, we've got a guest in the studio. It's Lisa Landrum of Run CLT. Run CLT is the airport code for Charlotte, and it's a lot of things connected to the city of Charlotte, and she's doing some pretty exciting things. We're going to be chatting about that in just a few moments. Run CLT Run, for those of you that are in the Charlotte area, it's a great resource and a place to connect for finding running groups, finding routes, just all things kind of running as it relates to individuals. So definitely would recommend checking that out. She's going to share more information about that throughout the conversation. But in the meantime, grab a cup of coffee and get ready for this conversation.
We got so much to say. We got a podcast to make. We're sipping on lattes and it's time for a coffee break. It's time for a coffee break.
Lisa, thank you for being here today. We're going to jump into rapid fire. I know you are anticipating this. You're excited about it.
Can't wait to get them over with.
Yeah. To get them over with. Well, maybe we'll just add extra in there, seven or eight. Five randomly selected questions just to get under your skin with unknown point values. You ready to go?
I am ready.
All right. If you could meet any historical figure, either living or deceased, who would you choose and why?
I'm going to go current, and I'm going to go with Obama.
Okay.
Barack Obama. Why? Because he's amazing. He really got me to take notice of the political climate.
Okay.
And I would just love to sit down and shoot the breeze with him.
Yeah, just kind of pick his brain. Somebody else gave a similar answer on three people that you would like to have in your entourage, and he was one of those people. But I had mentioned to them as well, I'd recently watched an interview with Oprah and Barack Obama on Apple TV Plus or something like that. Have you seen it?
No.
You should go check it out. It's pretty cool. I won't talk too much about it because I've already had a whole dialogue about that on a previous podcast, but it's actually pretty interesting. All right, here we go. Question number two. Do you have any hidden talents?
Oh, hidden talents. I'm sure I do. Let me think. Oh, I actually have, pretty long arms.
Okay.
So whenever anybody in my family needs to reach something, they always call on me. So I would say the long arm reach is my hidden talent.
I can appreciate that, right? All right, very cool. Number three, let's see here. What is your proudest accomplishment?
Selfishly, I would say my proudest accomplishment is the 100 miler that I just did.
Okay.
From a family standpoint, of course, I've got to go with my children.
Okay.
Right? I think I have to go with them.
Probably going to slide that in there. Pretty proud
of
them.
But I am very proud of them, yes.
All right. Question number four. If you were to have a talk show, who would your first three guests be? And you can't use Barack Obama.
I know, I can't. Even though that's part of the reason why I'd like to meet him is because I think he would make me feel super comfortable and the conversation would be
probably
really, really right on. I'd probably pick somebody who has some experience. So hate to use Oprah since you just gave me that. I'm scoring low. But I would say Oprah for one. Then I've got to have another one. Let me think here. These are tough, Chad. You're not taking it easy on me.
Yeah. You only have, who did you go? Oprah is one? Yeah.
Oprah's still the got first. Two. I still have two more.
I've got a full cup of coffee.
I know. Yeah. Not good with the rapid fire, man.
Really, really just kind of digging deep on these.
Thinking too much.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go with Meb. How about Meb Kubflexi? He's a runner, marathoner. Okay. He too, actually it's funny, I did a half marathon not too long ago and we chit-chatted it up, so feel like I've got that already yep. going. Yep. And then one more. Let's see. Can it be living? I'm assuming.
Sure.
It has to be a living person. Let's go with somebody super famous, like Kim Kardashian, because it'd be just fascinating to hear what she, I have no idea what I'd ask her because we're probably not very similar, but I have a feeling she could probably carry the conversation.
Those make the greatest conversations, right? Because it's very much like, so what is it that you do?
that would be a pretty fun conversation, actually.
I think David Letterman interviewed her for one of his talk show deals, and it was hilarious because it was very much that, like, explain to me exactly what it is that you do to make money. All right. So last question, number five, and this is very telling. What is your favorite movie?
Oh, this is an oldie but a goodie, I think. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay. I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
Oh, it's so funny. I mean, Steve Martin, and it just anything with Steve Martin, just absolutely I love. So I'm going with that.
In all fairness, I have only seen the beginning of many movies. I've not made it through a lot of them, so I may have seen the beginning, but I just don't remember.
It's riveting. You wouldn't be able to turn it off, so go watch it.
All right, and I know you have anxiety about the score, so I'm just not going to give you a score on rapid fire. All right.
Has that ever happened before? That makes me feel even more anxious, Chad. I'm going to go ahead and say. For the first time ever, Lisa does not get a score.
That's just part of the fun. We just we enjoy the rapid fire, making people feel very comfortable in the studio.
That was opposite.
Thank you very much for being here today and coming in. I know Aaron Beaver, who is running all of the equipment across the room or in the other room, has been very excited about having you on. And as well am I about understanding more of what the kind of community that you've kind of built. So it revolves around running. So you just mentioned that one of your biggest accomplishments or proudest accomplishments, outside of your kids, obviously, is a 100-mile race that you did. So tell me a little bit about that and what motivated you or inspired you to do that.
Well, thank you for having me here. It's very fun to be here and see what you've got going on. It's a lot.
there is a lot of stuff that you don't see behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, my 100-miler is probably the proudest, most forefront in my mind because it was just a couple of months ago, and I think it takes a while to kind of like having kids, you know, like forget the effort and the pain.
Yeah.
But I'm at that cusp now. My last toenail has fallen off, and that was the last physical reminder of it.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely on the upswing of the memories of it. It had been on my bucket list for a really long time. And when COVID hit and, you know, the world kind of was rocked, I decided, who knows if we're ever going to make it out of this. Let's just delve in right now. Might as well get it over with.
What's the worst that could happen, right?
And there was nothing else to do but run and run and run. So it was just a good time. And just personally, you know, the ages that my kids are,
mm-hmm.
They're pretty self-sufficient. So this was the first time that I could really dedicate the amount of training that it would take. So that was the impetus for it. And then I just took note of a race called Rim to River, which is in the New River Gorge in West Virginia, and it just looked super cool. I don't know. Have you ever been to that area?
Not that I remember.
Yeah, you'd remember it. It's really, I mean, there's this giant, giant bridge that mm-hmm. spans this huge canyon. It's very picturesque. The race director did a really good job with social media and highlighting all the beauty that the course had. So it kind of hooked me, and then all of a sudden I was, you know, 2 weeks out and about to jump into it.
Yeah.
So
just for context, how long does it take one to run 100 miles?
That's a variable question, variable answer for me personally. Okay. It took me 28, and it's dependent, you know, on the terrain, whether it's a road, whether mm-hmm. it's trail, you know, how hard the elevation is.
You said 28 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, 28 hours.
Yeah.
And that's nonstop? You take breaks?
Yeah, I took breaks for sure.
Okay.
Like, there were some crew access points where I would, you know, replenish my food, gotcha. Change my socks, mm-hmm. sit down for a minute or two.
Yeah.
Gather my thoughts.
Why am I doing this?
And then keep trucking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, people do them quick. People do them much, much faster than that.
Well, but I mean, it's the accomplishing it. It's the finishing it less of the time, really. I was just trying to get from a context standpoint how long it would take for somebody to move that amount. The amount of accomplishment at the end of something like that is, I know I've seen other people talk, and it's not anything at all that I've tried to accomplish in my life, but I've been around people that have done things like that. And it's the accomplishment of actually finishing it is something that you can't take that away from an individual, right?
Like yeah.
You've really pushed through and done something mentally and physically that a lot of people just don't have the wherewithal to handle it. How does that position you just at the daily things in life? How does that change your perspective on those things? You know,
that's a good question. I will say for sure that it really taught me a lot about myself. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go into something like that, you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the shit could hit the fan and you have no idea how you're going to react to it. And more often than not, at some point during that 28 hours, it does, right? So for me personally, boosted my confidence. I don't know if that's the right term, but it made me feel kind of more secure with myself, you know,
it gives you much more perspective on things that you can accomplish that maybe hadn't really processed. But I mean, just the wherewithal to push through on something of that great, 28 hours persistent, like then what else is difficult at that point, you know?
Yeah, well, like I said, I've said this before, people do those races all the time. People do much, much harder things than that all the time. But for me personally, at this point in my life, it was just a good thing for me to do,
okay.
to put it in a really simple way.
It just gave you, it just said, this is something I want to accomplish, and you went out and did it.
Yeah.
All right. With that, because we could talk about that for a long time, it's interesting to me here. You know, this podcast, we focus a lot on business ideas, practices, and strategies. A lot of those topics will center back around to leadership and kind of being self-motivated and those types of things to try to accomplish big tasks, right? Running organizations, starting something from the ground up, entrepreneurship, all of those things are tied together. And a lot of those come back to even folks that are trying to do major physical feats, right? And one of the things that I've learned over the years, I would not consider myself to be an avid runner. And I know that your perspective on this and I've seen some of this. If you run, you're a runner.
Yes.
Got it. So, but I it's not something that I'm looking to do some hardcore 100-mile or anything like that. For me to run on a consistent basis is good. I've learned through the process, though, it is a very mentally freeing and mentally, it's more of a mental exercise for me than it is a physical exercise, I guess, to summarize everything that I just said.
Yes.
Why is that? Because I have yet to figure out put my finger on it. But when I talk to a lot of other business owners, there are certain things that they do. Maybe it's running, maybe it's cycling, you know, whatever. Hiking or whatever, but it's more of this is a mental exercise and clarity than it is the physical side.
So much I want to delve into there. You hit it right on the head. Like I think oftentimes people don't associate the physical with the mental part of sport, mm-hmm. any physical activity that you're doing. Running and like swimming, cycling, any kind of endurance thing, you have to be self-motivated, right? You've got to tap into that part of your brain that wants to continue to do that for whatever. There's a billion different reasons.
Sure.
And your reason is probably not like mine.
Correct. Yeah.
Mine is probably not like any Aaron's out there. You know, like, it's so personal to me. Somebody once asked me, you know, why don't you, there's this app called Strava, and mm-hmm. you can check everybody's stats, and you know, people can follow you. And I think that is awesome if that is used to motivate you. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. For me personally, I said it's kind of like running to me is kind of like a religious experience. Like, it's kind of I do it for myself, mm-hmm. and it, you know, just the mental piece of it is so. It's so much a part of me that to put it out there for everybody to follow and track and say, why didn't you run that? Why did you run that slow today? You know, like, to kind of analyze that piece of it.
Take the comparison
is almost
out
like
there.
Personal, yeah. You know, like, that would almost be a personal thing to me, you know? So to kind of go back to what you said, the mental and physical part, just from a creative standpoint too, mm-hmm. like, when I'm running, I have so many conversations in my head. I solve all the world's problems. I, you know, have my life all figured out. It's just, and I think that takes practice too. Mm-hmm. I think that's another thing that people don't think about. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to practice to be mentally tough. You don't just, not very many people, I think, you know, just wake up and are like, I'm just going to go run a marathon today.
Sure.
So it's just that constant practicing of both the physical and the mental piece of it, that mm-hmm. when you marry those together, and then apply them to different parts of your life, I think that is where kind of the magic is.
Can you copy this key? That's a question we get asked about 3,422 times a year. And how can you actually be sure that the person who asked that question is supposed to get a copy of that key? Well, we think you should always know who can copy your keys to your business and your home, because it could be your neighbor, an old employee, a contractor, or even worse, your mother-in-law. At LockDock Security, we believe in protected key systems, so you always know who has a copy of your key. To find out more, visit LockDock.net or stop by our Charlotte location. LockDock Security, helping you protect your people and your property. I can definitely understand the especially the part of the ideas, processing things, having conversations with yourself. And for one of the driving factors for me when I'm locked in, and I, the reason that I hesitate to classify myself in any type of a runner category is there's things that I won't do, like when it's cold and rainy, I'm not gonna
okay.
go. Like, I'm good. You know,
it's okay.
I'm gonna be lazy. The weather's got to be in an ideal temperature range for me, not too hot and not too cold. But anyways,
I hear you.
But when I can dedicate the time to it, there's a couple of things in the world that I live in and many people live in. There's so many distractions. Mm-hmm. So many people mm-hmm. are looking for you to have a conversation. Time demands all those things. And when you're running, you aren't available to do those things. Those distractions are not there. It's just go. And so you can process a lot of things. And so from a clarity standpoint, there's been a lot of ideas that have been buried out of it and all those things. So when it comes to that, so that's kind of the normal day to day. Like, I can put on my running shoes. I can walk out of the door and go running. Then you have these other variables with distance and time and running groups and all those things. Where is the difference of kind of running by yourself or then joining up with a group, and what have you seen to be pros and cons of that?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. You know, I have always been more of a solo type mm-hmm. runner, or run with one running
okay.
friend.
Yep.
And Run Charlotte Run has truly opened my eyes to the benefit of being surrounded by a group.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now, you know, this past year, the bigger groups have not been able to meet. They've not met.
Sure.
And to see the effect on people and the community has really kind of been eye-opening.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned before, you know, people run for a million different reasons. Mm-hmm. And some of the reasons are social. There are a lot of things that come out on a long run with your friends.
Sure.
You know, kind of going back to that mental piece of it.
Yeah.
So it's been cool to see it from others' perspective and open myself then up to that as well, mm-hmm. because I do sometimes run with more than one person now. I have gone to different groups and run with people that I never normally would have. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I think is so, so cool. And that was one of the reasons to kind of start Run Charlotte Run, is that I truly, truly believe that running can bring people together. And not even running, you know, walking, just physical activity, being physical, mm-hmm. Just brings people that you would never meet together. You know, like, I probably wouldn't ever be sitting here talking with you.
Sure.
There are people that I've met in my life and crossed paths with, mm-hmm. that there's no way I ever would have if running hadn't been, you know, the
reason. Kind of the common denominator.
Yeah. And I think that's cool. And I think, you know, a lot falls away. If you and I can find a commonality in running, mm-hmm. I don't care who you voted for. You know, like, I think a lot of the barriers and things that people get hung up about, mm-hmm. kind of fall away when you can find something that you both really love and are passionate about.
Conversations that you mentioned it, conversations that come up through running with other folks. I know, you know, there's a couple of folks that I run with on occasion, and the, I think the max that I've ever run in a group with was about six. And it was intriguing even through that, because you could have multiple conversations happening simultaneously, and just that, just the persistence. You could do that at dinner. You could do that at a social gathering, but there's a different aspect to it when you have dedicated to go a certain distance or a certain path or whatever and connect. Here recently, Aaron drug several of us into this Krispy Kreme donut challenge, which was
you did that.
It was the worst thing ever.
Did you vomit?
A little bit. But it was a dozen donuts. Now, I will say this.
That's crazy.
It's nasty. I don't want any donuts ever. Like, I enjoy donuts every once in a while. And now
and
it's just like,
it. Yeah, oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, definitely not Krispy Kreme. But there was this focus and dedication to, this is a task that we've set out to do, and we're gonna go through it. And there were only two of us that actually finished the dozen donuts. I was one of those, but I just want to clarify that. The running wasn't that great, but I did finish the donuts. But anyways, working through for a common goal, but then even on having a sense of accomplishment at the end of, hey, this is what we did. Mm-hmm. When you started Run Charlotte Run, what's the point? What is it that you're trying to get people to do?
I don't know. You know, it's funny. I started Run Charlotte Run, I think I just did the math. Years and time these days has kind of mm-hmm. been homogenized, but 2017.
Okay.
And it was after an election mm-hmm. in 2016, right, that felt super big and scary and out of control for me personally.
Sure.
And, you know, I've mentioned my kids before. And I was sitting around kind of complaining and, you know, bitching about what was going on. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, you know what, that is not the example I want to set. Like, if you can do something, you've got to do something. No sure. matter how, no matter where you are and no matter how small it seems, mm-hmm. if you can just kind of start to do something mm-hmm. where you are, I always say in our little corner of the world, mm-hmm. then you should do that. And so what I decided to do was put that energy into something good mm-hmm. as opposed to bemoaning the sure. state of affairs. And I don't even know how it started. Like, I was on Instagram. I had never really been on Facebook a little bit, but certainly not Instagram. Mm-hmm. Not a huge social media person. And I just kind of started commenting on, you know, people who had run and noticing people in the Charlotte running community. And I've been a runner for a long time, we talked about. And I always kind of felt like the Charlotte running community is kind of segmented, mm-hmm. right? Which is what I felt was happening in the world and where it was trending. And I thought, you know, I can try and do something. Let's try and bring people together as opposed to keeping people in these separate little pods.
Sure.
Let's make it comfortable for people to delve in mm-hmm. to running if they want. And so that was the main goal. And I just kind of threw a bunch of stuff at the wall and was like, okay, let's see how this works. Let's see what happens. And it's interesting, the things that I thought would work kind of didn't. And the things that I really didn't even think about were the things that kind of rose to the top. And those things were people connecting. People connecting over running, people connecting over, you know, volunteering in the community, just being more involved, just being heard and seen in this community that they were a part of.
So what has been something that has come out of this group or this community that you've built that you've been, one, maybe a little surprised in, or two, very proud of, hey, this is something that's come out of this initiative?
Just like I mentioned before, people talking to other people who they may never have before. I think it's given people a platform. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's given them a space, even if it is in the digital world, to connect with others that maybe they would not have before.
Gotcha.
And that's not me. I want to be super clear that none of really what has become of Run Charlotte Run mm-hmm. it is about me, mm-hmm. really. It's about everybody else, which I think is the coolest part. It's everybody else kind of coming together and doing their thing. And if they can, you know, tag Run CLT Run and other people see it and they connect, that to me is cool.
Yeah. Well, but you created something of a common denominator for people to attach themselves to, which is pretty exciting. Forward Motion. What is Forward Motion?
Forward Motion is another example of me sitting there complaining about something and then realizing, wait a minute, I could probably do something about that. So my kids go to public school. Mm-hmm. They are CMS students. And
so they hang out at the house right now.
Well, one of them is gone. Oh, my gosh. One of them went to school yesterday. Is there wood I can knock on? But the other two are home, yes. Mm-hmm. And it was a long haul, man. And sports just kept getting kicked mm-hmm. down the road. I have two kids in high school who mm-hmm. run cross country.
Okay.
And so at the beginning of the year, at the end of the summer, it just kept getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back.
Sure.
And I was watching my kids atrophy there on the sofa in front of their phones, like, yeah, I should go run. Yeah, I probably should go run. But just so unmotivated. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's hard to be motivated if it's you.
Sure.
If it's just you and you're used to, you know, running with your friends, mm-hmm. you're a teenager. So I was like, man, this is the worst. Like, how long is this going to happen? My kids are so lazy, blah, blah. And then I was like, okay, hold on. Let's dial it back and think, mm-hmm. okay, what can you do? Like, if you can do something, you should do it. And I was like, yeah, I could probably do something. Like, I know how to tell some kids to run.
Yeah.
So I worked, you know, with some coaches and just kind of spread the word that, look, if you guys want to come and meet at McAlpine Park, I will be there. I'll run the workout and do some strength, and we'll just move forward. So you guys will be ready when it's time for cross country tryouts.
Gotcha.
And that's how it started. So that's how it started. Forward Motion is a term that I use all the time. Like, as long as you are moving forward mm-hmm. and running and in life, you're doing it right. And then I thought, you know, yes, youth is primarily the group that I'm working with. Mm. It's certainly not limited to that. I think I have some value to offer, you know, to adults as well. So Forward Motion is just kind of a training entity in and of itself. And it just got going and we're just rolling with it.
Just a reminder, you're listening to the Coffee Break Podcast. Also, we wanted to let you know that our team puts together a weekly blog post. You can find it at locdoc.net/blog. It's guaranteed to raise your IQ by 12 points or your money back. So it's pretty much a win-win. All right, back to the conversation.
There's someone else that I am aware of that through the same type of process through the pandemic, they realized that the kids in the school system were struggling because there was no program for them to get outdoors and actually have any kind of structured physical activity. And so they started up a very similar kind of an after-school camp or an afternoon-type camp. And it just kind of blew up in a sense that they had a large number of people that were willing to show up and basically use this as a paid service for some structured physical activity, because the same thing was happening. Online education is all. Yeah, my daughter, I've got a 13-year-old, almost a 13-year-old, and she has been telling me that has to go to her PE class on Zoom. I was like, how? Explain to me how this works.
You ever watch that go down? I have. It's, I don't know how much PE is actually happening.
Exactly. So through the whole process, it's finding ways. Okay, here's an interesting opportunity that obviously there's a hole, there's a need, there's a place for it to show up. So getting behind that and doing something about it. So you've got that. You're kind of the behind the Run CLT Run. All of that. Both of those things are really dedicated to, from my perspective, and I'm interested to hear your opinion as well. But from the perspective of, these are things that are you're passionate about, but you're also trying to inspire others to do, right? Try to get behind it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, I think you've said it a couple of times. Well, instead of just griping and complaining about it, get up there and actually start the process.
Mm-hmm. And that, to be honest with you, I would say is not, I was going to say it's not truly in my nature, but I guess it is. Mm-hmm. And to kind of go back to the whole, you know, my proudest accomplishment, you know, I think Run Charlotte Run has given me personally a platform as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I would ever think to do Forward Motion if it wouldn't have been for Run Charlotte Run.
Yeah.
Because I've seen kind of the benefit of the power of community. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, the next generation of runners is super important to me. Mm-hmm. And if I, or, you know, if we can inspire them to make that connection again, mm-hmm. between the mental and the physical, I will tell you, after sitting on Zooms all day, these kids come and they are so ecstatic, mm-hmm. to be number one around other people. Mm-hmm. And we can do it in a super safe, you know, way, because we're in a park.
Sure.
It's running. I yell at them all the time to stay away from each other. They love it. But to make that connection between, you know, how they feel both, mm-hmm. mentally and physically after they go and run for an hour. Mm-hmm. That's cool. You know, that's good stuff.
For sure. All right. So here's my question for you. Run CLT Run, Run Charlotte Run, Forward Motion, any of those things that you've been involved with. We started out the conversation by talking about your 100 miler. When people hear that and then they connect, say, a Run Charlotte Run or something like that, what do you say to people that are intimidated to get started? Well, I mean, I don't run that fast, or I don't think I can go that far, or all those things. What is your response to the overall intimidating factor of accomplishing something of that feat with somebody that's kind of either getting started or they just don't see themselves as that type of an individual?
Mm-hmm. I see it all the time, mm-hmm. all the time in the comments, all the time with people replying, all the time. Like, I went on a 5 mile run. It wasn't that fast. I went on only a 5 mile run. Mm-hmm. I went on a 5 mile run and I sucked. You know, like all of those is like, take that out. Mm-hmm. Like, you went on a 5 mile run. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, just, if you know enough to start, if you have the motivation to start at all, I don't care if you're out there doing a 20-minute mile and mm-hmm. you walked 10 times during it,
yep.
you started. That's the hardest part, you know? I mean, just from a business perspective, from a personal perspective, any part of life, the hardest part is that first initial mm-hmm. start into it.
There's a couple of buddies of mine that we chat very regularly, all kind of running businesses in different areas of the country. And the common theme that we come back to a lot of times is there's a lot of people that talk about ideas and talk about doing things. And then there's only a fraction of those that actually can execute on it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the part of it is don't undervalue the start because that's part of the execution. Mm-hmm. You could just be sitting around and talking about, yeah, I want to do this or I want to go accomplish this or I'm thinking about doing this. But it's the actual picking up, putting on the shoes and actually getting started and executing on that strategy.
And it's the fear of the unknown, mm-hmm. right, that stops a lot of people before they even get started. And I also think what people think is very, very singular only to them is that, you know, I'm going to start running mm-hmm. and when I feel great in 100% of my runs and can run for, you know, arbitrary amount of miles, 10, mm-hmm. without stopping at my goal pace and feel great, then I'm a runner.
Yeah.
Guess what? I had a run the other day where I felt like a 300-pound smoker, man. Like, you never, it's one of those things that you're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days, and you just have to, it's the consistency factor. Mm-hmm. You just have to keep showing up, and you have to start, but then continue on.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
It seems like you're more looking at the bright spot in something versus just focusing on the negative side, which is what a lot of people do. And mm-hmm. I think in all the scenarios that you've given me, it's started out with frustration with something or griping about something and then go, well, hold on a second. What can we do about it?
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I do that. Yeah. I think if you can take out just the expectation. Mm-hmm. Like I said, when I first started doing this, I had no idea. My expectations were completely different than how it kind of went, but you have to be willing to just roll with it mm-hmm. and be committed to, I've always been committed to the idea that, gosh, if we can bring people together instead of highlighting the ways we're different, and we can do that through running, just because that's what I'm comfortable with, then let's just keep rolling with it.
For sure. So you've got folks that you're encouraging to get out and do something. If it's some type of motion, some type of activity, you're trying to inspire the next generation. You're training. You're keeping those folks moving. So what are the other things that you're frustrated with that you're getting ready to start?
Oh, who knows? Man, there are a lot. let's stick with those right now.
those are the two primaries. So I guess in kind of a closing fashion, people want to figure this out. They, again, walking through or walking away from the intimidation factor of just getting started. What is something that you recommend for people? Like, okay, I've never been a runner. I don't even like to go walk. Right. So I'm starting from that pace. What do you typically encourage people to do if that's something that they're wanting to accomplish?
Just lace them up and start out, man. Like, you just got to go. And I think it's important to be realistic, which I oftentimes remind people, hopefully mm-hmm. they get it, you know, not like I said, not every run is going to be great.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of tricky because social media is a highlight reel. So people are out there, you know, showing their medals and their buckles and showing, you know, their Strava pages that said they ran, you know, 30 miles in 10 hours, you know, whatever. Yeah. So it's like, you have to keep things realistic for you. And what is realistic for me is different from what's realistic for you,
sure.
for other people, right? So it's just a matter of, you know, not comparing yourself to others and just getting started and taking that next step.
Just getting started in small incremental steps.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know, it feels like there's a lot of folks that get the bug to go do something, whatever it might be. It might be running, it might be hiking, it might be cycling, whatever. And they go to an extreme, burn themselves out to start mm-hmm. with. But again, that's a lesson in life as a whole,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Anything in running and in life, I always say.
You go to any type of extreme and you burn yourself out, and then you're just like, I don't think I want to try that again. That was not what I was expecting. Starting small and building upon that is a big thing. All right. If anybody wants to get a hold of you to find out more about what all of this stuff is, what's the best way to do that?
So on social media, it's RunCLT, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And then there's a website, which is runcltrun.com. Forward Motion, which is kind of the new piece of this, is forwardmotionclt.com.
Okay.
And we're just taking baby steps into the social media world with that. But you can find that at Forward Motion XC for the youth piece of it, and Forward Motion CLT for the parent piece of it, I guess.
There you go. All right, very cool. So helping to inspire kind of the next generation and help people find the bright spots in whatever they're trying to accomplish.
Yep.
Very cool. Lisa, thank you once again for joining us today. It was such a blast. Lots of energy, and I'm excited. I am really excited because the weather is starting to get better around here, and we can go and actually run, for my sake at least. So I'm pretty excited about that. Run CLT. Run is a great resource, again, as we said, for finding running groups or for finding routes. If you're in the Charlotte area, I would definitely recommend checking that out and following all of the social media aspects there. Once again, Lisa, thank you for being here today, and we look forward to having more conversations with you in the future. If this is your first time watching or listening to the podcast, we invite you to subscribe. We have a brand new episode every Tuesday at 9 a.m. And in order to get all the latest information, you want to be subscribed. So make sure you do that and check us out at lockdoc.net/podcast for all the other episodes that we've got for you, all surrounding these similar topics of business ideas, practices, and strategies. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next time right here on the Coffee Break Podcast.